Welcome to The Weekly Option, the podcast for people interested in trading stock options. Each week, we cover trade ideas and opportunities in the stock market right now. Whether you're a beginner, a professional, or just curious about options, this is the show for you. Let's get started. Welcome to The Weekly Option. This is episode 133 on September 26th, 2020. I'm your host, Eric. And in this week's show, we will cover the trades from last week on Sorrento Therapeutics, Plug Power Incorporated, and Kinross Gold Corporation. And then we discuss three new trades on Workhorse Group, Gap Incorporated, and Bed Bath & Beyond. Now, it's always great to hear from listeners. If you have any questions about the trades presented here on the show, or even about your own positions, feel free to email me. You can email questions to eric@theweeklyoption.com. That's eric@theweeklyoption.com. I've also created a short video series to teach you all the basics of option trading that you'll need to know to be able to follow along with me on this show. You can visit our website and click on the videos tab to watch them, or visit the YouTube channel for The Weekly Option. Now, this week marks week number 4 of declines in the market. The market seems to be trickling down as many folks are starting to expect it to fall, even more, especially entering this election season. Now, the Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 483 points, ending the week at 27,173 points. The S&P 500 Index lost 21 points to close the week at 3,298 points. And now we're going to get into the topic of the week. And this week's topic is based on an email I received a couple of weeks ago, and I wanted to find a way to work the answer into the show, so I figured we'd choose it for a topic of the week. So thank you very much to the listener that asked the question. So the topic this week is on rolling trades, and two of the main features of option trading, or of options in general, are time and strike. So when we speak about options, we normally say the month, so October, and then we give the strike, 24 or 24, 25, and then we'll say the type of the option, call or put spread, something along those lines. One of the main tools of option traders is being able to manipulate those two items, both time and strike, to create the risk that you want. And what's cool about that is that let's say a trade needs more time. You think it's not going to happen the way you're expecting in the month of October. You can actually roll the trade to the next month by, let's say you have a credit spread in October. You'd buy in that October spread and sell a similar spread in November. That pushes the risk or the trade to the next month, giving your trade possibly another 4 or 5 weeks to live out, sort of to go in the direction that you're expecting it to go. And if a trade needs to be moved further in or out of the money, you can roll the strikes. So you see us do this with the covered calls. If a covered call doesn't go the direction we want, oftentimes my go-to function is to roll the strike lower. Now, rolling the strike means that you're going to buy in or sell out depending on which direction you have, but you're going to do an offsetting trade in the strike that you have and then enter a similar position with a different strike, possibly in that same month. And then, of course, you can choose to do both at the same time depending on your needs. So you can move from, say, the October 24-25 call spread out to the November 25-26 call spread, for instance, or you can go any direction. So it just gives you all of these different functions. So one of the things that makes option trading so difficult for people is the fact that there are so many details that you can alter, you can change that will alter the risk of the trade. And that's so different than buying shares of stock. We're used to buying stock where really the stock has a price, right? You bought it at a specific price, or maybe you shorted the stock at a specific price. That's it. There's no time. There are no strikes. There's none of this sort of time value of money cooked into it. It just is what it is. You have a cost basis and a price that you exit the trade. Options obviously aren't that way, but that's what makes option trading so beautiful. As a trader, trading is all about managing and manipulating risk. So with options, you have the ability to alter the risk and create it, you know, turn it into exactly what you want. And that's what makes this investment vehicle so powerful. I'm doing I do a podcast on option trading. So you guys obviously know I'm a bit of a cheerleader for options. I'm biased, but I think options are amazing. And I've traded, you know, physical products. I was a commodity trader for a long time. I also trade some cryptocurrency. I've traded a lot of different asset classes within the investment realm, and I still will always define myself and call myself an option trader just because it's so amazing once you understand it. And I'll tell you, it takes time as well to understand, as many of you know. It's so tricky. It's so challenging to get to understand all of the different factors that you have access to that can alter a trade. But all you have to do is really get to know one or two of them, which is why I stick to the same types of trades on this show. I could tell you about another probably 25 different types of trades. Like, I was going to discuss ratio trades and you know, 1x2s and all of these other things that I really like to trade. But I really want to keep this show consistent so that those of you who are still in learning mode can honestly have a solid footing so that you can start to understand. Because if you can understand credit and debit spreads and you understand what's actually happening from a risk perspective with covered calls, I mean, if you understand covered calls, you can start understanding how to hedge your position. If you understand credit and debit spreads, I can show you how to put them together for iron condors or butterfly spreads or 1x2, like all of this stuff. So it's sort of like blocking and tackling. I think if I had named the show the Blocking and Tackling Show, you get a bunch of jocks on here or ex-jocks expecting me to talk about sports. And I was a band nerd, right? I was even in band in college. I started off college as a music major before switching to economics. So I can't have a show on football, but what I can do is talk about just sort of the basics, the blocking and tackling of option trading. And that's what my goal is for this show. And so, you know, we don't talk about things like moving. I try to keep risk within the same month on this show. That's not necessarily how I trade in real life, but I want to keep it that way on the show because I want to be consistent and create a nice foundation to have a conversation and an education around. But at the end of the day, being able to roll strikes or roll time, roll trades to the next month, that's one of the tools that makes option trading so valuable. So thank you for the question that was emailed to me. Gave me enough of a reason to plan to speak about it on this show. And thank you to all of you who write in and keep asking questions because it's very useful. I've been trading options long enough to where some of those questions, I just don't have them anymore because they were answered a decade or two ago. But it's great to see them because it reminds me of where I started. And it reminds me of the fact that, you know, my company hired me back in 2001. I mean, you put a 24-year-old on the floor of a major option trading exchange and give them a shot, which is just crazy to think that all these young guys are out there, you know, throwing around hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars on a daily basis and still learning. So anyway, that's just the way the world works and the way that industry works. But thanks for the question. Keep emailing questions in. I love being able to help out. And I actually do respond to my email for those of you who haven't emailed me yet, so feel free to. All right, let's get into the trade reviews for the show. We're going to start off with the covered call. Last week, we looked at Sorrento Therapeutics, symbol S as in Sierra, R as in Romeo, N as in November, E as in Echo. At the time, the stock was trading for $9.43 per share. I looked at buying that stock and selling the October 10 call at $1.70. hoping for a maximum return of 24% over the next 4 weeks. Well, Sorrento Therapeutics stock grew 20 cents this week, ending at $9.63 per share. The call option we sold lost 35 cents this week, leaving us with a net profit of 55 cents if we were to close the trade out right now. Now, this is the perfect scenario for a covered call position. You want the stock price to improve over time, and that typically leads to the call option being valued higher. However, the thing that always works against option values is time. And every day that passes reduces the amount of time available for that option to finish in the money. So I always say that the best case scenario for a covered call is when the stock goes higher than the strike value of the call option that you sold. And that's because you get to keep the premium that you received for selling the call option. And when at expiration, that stock gets pulled out of your position. So you're left with two sets of profit, ideally, for that trade and no position. So it closes off the risk. The other scenario that I don't talk about as often that can be equally or at times even more profitable is when the stock price goes up. So you don't lose money on the stock, but it remains less than the strike of the option that you sold. And that gives you the ability, that means that at expiration, right, you keep the stock, but the option expires worthless, and that allows you to sell another call option in the next month. So all in all, for this trade, it's working out as planned and no adjustments are needed. All right, let's get into the credit spread from last week. We looked at Plug Power Inc., symbol P as in Papa, L as in Lima, U as in Uniform, G as in Golf. At the time, the stock was trading for $13.56 per share, and I sold the October 13 12 put spread at 36 cents, which could give us a maximum possible loss of 64 cents. This trade did not work out the way I wanted. Plug Power stock fell $1.91 per share this week, closing at $11.65. And I just look at this and say, okay, you know, I sold a put spread, which meant that I thought the stock was going higher. If I had bought stock at $13.56, I would have lost, right, $1.91 per share this week. So $191 for sure. But even though I'm losing money on this put spread, it was a controlled loss, right? I know right from the start that my maximum possible loss is 64 cents, which is actually 64 real dollars. That I didn't reach that loss this week, but let me continue. I'm just sort of looking at the scenario and just comparing trading stock versus trading options. I had a limited loss set up for this trade right from the start. So the out of the money put spread we sold is now in the money because this stock went down $1.91 per share. The spread is currently worth 79 cents, and that leaves us with a loss of 43 cents per spread. We know that this is a dollar wide spread, and so the maximum that we can lose is the difference between that dollar and the amount of money we brought in, which was 36 cents when we initiated the trade. So that creates that 64 cents a possible loss. So we lost 43 cents per spread this week, and now we have a decision to make. We can either wait a little while to see if the stock is going to head back higher, and if it heads back higher, of course, we know that this trade expires out of the money, then we get to keep the amount that we sold it for. If stock remains in its current place, of course, over the next 3 weeks, we're going to want to close this trade out rather than hang around and lose the additional 19 cents that's possible for this spread. So right now, or actually the additional 21 cents that you can lose on this spread. So, you know, ultimately, this is we could close the trade out and look at selling another, you know, we could sell an iron condor against it, sell a put spread and a call spread. And when I look at that, that's the October 11, 10 and a half put spread. You could sell that for 15 cents. You could sell the October 12 and a half call spread at 9 cents, which would add up to a total of 24 cents. But if you do that, it still leaves you with the possibility of losing 26 cents for the spread, right? Because either side can end up being worth 50 cents. If you bring in 24 cents for the Iron Condor, that leaves 26 cents on the table. And it means that you need stock to finish between $12.50 and $11 per share. If it finishes anywhere outside of that, you'll still end up losing money on this trade, possibly losing that 26 cents. So, you know, given that entering this trade still leaves us, you know, if you close out the trade and enter the Iron Condor, it still leaves you with a loss on the week. So we lost 43 cents this week. And it actually increases your total possible risk by 5 cents. So if we left the trade on, the most we could lose is another 21 cents because the spread right now is worth 79 cents. We know it'll expire being worth $1. So there's another 21 cents you could lose there. Or if you put on this Iron Condor, you get back some of your money today, but you still have the possibility of losing 26 cents per spread. So 26 cents of risk versus 21 cents. I'm actually more prone to wait and see if stock prices head higher again, or decide rather I'm just simply going to close the trade for a loss. So I hate losing, but that comes with the game. But the truth of it is, we lost a lot less money than if we had traded stock outright. And this is, you know, again, I like options because you get to define the risk. Of course, we could do something that I mentioned earlier, and that's rolling the strikes as well to try to create a situation where we still could continue the trade into the next month or changing the strike. But I'm more prone to keep our risk right here in October and make our decisions based on that. Let's get into the second trade from last week. It's going to be another punch to the chin because I took a loss in this. It's Kinross Gold Corporation, symbol KGC, K as in kilo, G as in golf, C as in Charlie. At the time, the stock was trading for $10 per share, and I looked at buying that October 9-10 call spread, paying 66 cents for the spread and hoping for a maximum gain of 34 cents, which is a 51.5% return in 4 weeks. Well, Kinross Gold, the stock fell $1.25 per share this week, closing at $8.75 per share. The in-the-money call spread we purchased is now out of the money, and so the spread could be sold at 23 cents, which would give us an immediate loss of 43 cents per spread. Now, as much as I don't like that loss, there's still another 23 cents a possible loss to this trade. So my first goal is to give this trade a little time to breathe and see if the stock will return higher. Sometimes adding additional trades like Iron Condors and whatnot, it muddies up your first trade, right? Just kind of convolutes it all. And I don't want to close one trade and enter another trade that could still create a loss for me. I'm also keenly aware of my goal, which is always locking in profit or limiting loss. Now, we could sell our original call spread and sell a put spread and call spread against it. If you were to do it, I'm looking at the October 8.5-8 put spread and the October 9-9.5 call spread. If you sold both of those, you collect a total of 29 cents. This could lead to a possible loss of 21 cents in October, and that only lowers my possible loss by 2 cents. Now, still, I'm more prone to wait a couple days and let this trade breathe a bit. Now, the design of this show, obviously, is to discuss the results of 1 week of the trade. But we still have 3 weeks left in this trade before October expiration. So sometimes a trade takes longer than a week. And then other times, it's worth taking a loss rather than complicating matters with another trade. So it just depends, and a lot of that also depends on you know, each of our individual risk tolerances. Like, I might be willing to take the risk on these trades. I mean, I go into these trades knowing my maximum possible gain and maximum loss, so I size my position in such a way where I can take that loss if I have to. Which gives me the ability to try to make what I consider logical decisions or rational decisions in how I manage the risk. Now, the beauty of that rational decision making is that we all approach logic differently. And as much as I'd love to say that I'm a rational individual, I think behavioral economics has proven that we all make decisions that are more emotional than rational. So I'm not above freaking out and taking my money off the table, or, you know, cheering, patting myself on the back, and watching a winning trade turn into a loss. Done that before. I'm sure those of you who are actually trading options, you've probably done something similar. So I think in this scenario, though, I definitely wait a little bit to see how the trade, how the stock plays. When I say a little bit, it's normally like a day or two, and then make a decision on how I'm going to adjust the trade so that I either don't have to sustain the full loss of the trade, or I just minimize risk one way or another, because it's always about protecting your capital, right? You work too hard for your capital. You want to protect it and put yourself in a position to make another trade that could end up making you some money. So that being said, two losses on the week. Let's go ahead and get into this week's trades. We have 3 weeks left before October expiration. So this week and next week, we'll still keep looking at October trades before moving on to the November expiration. Can't believe how fast this year is moving, but I'm sure many of you, like so many others, will be happy to see 2021 come in and 2020 sort of fade into memory. So let's start off with the covered call, as we always do. And I'm going back to a trade, a company that we looked at back at the end of July, so just a couple of weeks ago, or I guess about 8 weeks ago, a couple months ago. And that's Workhorse Group. Symbol W is in whiskey, K is in kilo, H is in hotel, S is in Sierra. Stock ended the week at $24.81 per share. I'm looking at buying that stock and selling the October 25 call at $3.60, hoping for a maximum return of 15.28% in 3 weeks. Now, you enter this trade by buying Workhorse stock for $24.81 per share and concurrently selling the October 25 call at $3.60. This trade makes the most money if stock prices finish above $25 per share, and the break-even price on this is $21.21 per share. The stock, in real terms, the stock purchase would require $2,481, and you would collect $360 for selling the call option. One of the other questions I got this week, or a couple weeks ago actually, was about stock selection, and I'm going to respond to that email a little more deeply than I'll mention here on the call. But one of the things I like to see in a covered call trade, even though it doesn't always determine profit, I want to see a few things, but the two I'll mention right now, I look at the stock price and see if the stock is at least going higher. I don't want to buy a stock that has been trending lower for months. Many times the airline stocks have call options that have high premium, and it'd be nice to be able to sell them, but then you look at the direction that the stock price has gone, and it's been trending lower. And, you know, I'm a trend trader. I'm a trend follower by nature. So it's hard for me to consider buying a stock that's going lower, even if I feel like I can collect a high option premium. And then obviously I've already hinted to the second feature, which is higher than normal option premiums. Now, I always go in with the idea that there are no free lunches, meaning if an option is priced this high, there's a reason for it. So my real, I know that if I'm selling a high priced option, there's normally some news or something cooked into it. So I need to make sure that there are no earnings calls and that sort of thing coming up. But so it's a little riskier if you're taking this approach. But there's also times where it's just worth collecting that high option premium, and you've got the stock there, and with such high option premium, you actually have a lot of leeway. Like, you don't have to wait until the end of next week to decide if you're going to close the trade or not. Oftentimes, I'll exit a trade well before I take a full loss on it in the stock. So I've got $3.60 of cushion to see if this trade is going to work out for me. All right. Let's get into the credit spread for this week. And that's going to be on Gap. I haven't traded Gap for a while. Symbol GPS. G as in golf. P as in Papa. S as in Sierra. The stock ended the week at $16.29 per share. I'm looking at selling the October 16 have 17 call spread at 17 cents, which can give us a maximum possible loss of 33 cents per spread. Now, you enter this trade by selling the October 16 half call at 87 cents and concurrently buying the October 17 call for 70 cents. This is a credit spread because we are selling the spread, and this trade makes the most money if stock prices remain less than $16.50 per spread. The break-even price on this trade is $16.67 per share. Now, you would receive $17 per spread that you sell in real terms and have $33 per spread at risk. And then our final trade on the week is going to be a debit spread. I'm looking at Bed Bath & Beyond, symbol BBBY. B as in Bravo, B as in Bravo, B as in Bravo, Y as in Yankee. The stock ended the week at $14.53 per share, and I'm looking at buying the October 14 half call spread for 32 cents, which can give us a maximum possible gain of 18 cents per spread or 56.25% return in 3 weeks. Now, you enter this trade by buying the October 14 call for $1.76 and concurrently selling the October 14 half call at $1.44. This is a debit spread because we are buying the spread, and this trade makes the most money if stock prices finish higher than $14.50 per share. The break-even price is $14.32 per share, and in real terms, you will pay $32 to enter this spread, and your maximum gain is $18 per spread. So that's it for this week's show. Thank you guys so much for listening, and I hope you guys are having some great trading results out there. Certainly interesting time, both in the world and in the markets. So be alert, do all your homework before you enter some of these trades. And as usual, happy trading.
Thank you for listening to the Weekly Option Podcast. Please subscribe to our show and visit us at www.theweeklyoption.com. Disclaimer, there is a very high degree of risk involved in trading. The indicators and strategies described in this podcast are for educational purposes only and should not be construed as investment advice. For our full disclaimer, visit our website at www.theweeklyoption.com.